you're standing, and in honor to the word of the Lord, amen. Let's look at John 12. Let's go to Revelation 13 and 18. I don't think we'll have time for John 12, but let's look at Revelation 13 and verse number 18. Hallelujah. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. Amen. Everyone say 666. Six is the number of man. I tell you something, every church, regardless of denomination or persuasion, every church should do. Let's look at John chapter 4, verse number 23. Amen. John 4 and 23. The hour cometh, and everybody said it, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Amen. How many of you truly want to be used of God? The secret lies in who you are when you're alone. The secret lies in what you do for God and what you do to build your value up to God when you're alone. I'm going to narrow it down just a little more and tell you the secret lies within the framework of the Word of God. People so desperately cry out for God to use them. We have a Bible chart out there that people have signed up on, and it amazes me that the ones that want it to be used of God the most have only checked 2 months this whole year. 2 months. I know it's behind the scenes and there's no accolades and nobody's watching, and so there's not, it's kind of boring. But I'm telling you right now, you will never get where you want to be with God until you put this Word of God in your guts. This up here is not going to happen. This back here is not going to happen. You'll never win a talent show. Never. You'll never be the best singer. I don't care how far you travel. You'll never get in first place, and most of the time you'll never even place. Until we get this Word of God in our guts, we will never stand where we want to stand with the kingdom of God. I'm saying this in desperation because we've got 10,000 people that were taken to eternity in one day on Friday that need you. And they need more than a spotlight Christian. They need more than a stage Christian. Hello, they need more than a microphone Christian. They're not even looking for multi-talent. You know what they're looking for? Someone with just a tad bit of passion. Somebody with just a little bit of concern. Somebody that would really take the time to pray for them, even though there's nobody just there to say, "Ooh, you're a prayer warrior." They're not looking for the people that make the most noise on Saturday night. They're looking for somebody that could just care a little bit. And you say, "That's a lot of people, and I don't have access to the Philippines." Listen, we lost 10,000 people just this past week in America. And it wasn't a tragic storm, it was just simply death. It came, and now they're gone. The seriousness of serving God has really got to get a hold of the children of God so that we can accomplish what the Lord has truly entitled for us to do. And that is to reach the lost, no matter the cost. I know we've got a full house and we're getting ready to build another house. And it's not in the dream, maybe, or not in the plans to build another house after that. But God does whatever He wants to do. And we have got to learn that we've got to attach ourselves to Him. If we're just trying to get him to attach to us, he's going to be an awful little God. Because some of the things we think is so silly. And some of the things we truly want for ourselves is so goofy. In the eyes of God, compared to what he wants to accomplish with the whole. Hello? Amen. And so, we need a new vision. And we need a new direction. And so, what I'd like to do today is admonish you to worship the Lord. That's a good beginning. To worship the Lord. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't know how you were raised religiously, but welcome to the house where there is no religion. I'm about to the point that I don't even believe in religion. I know the Bible talks of true religion. I know the Bible. But true religion isn't a form or a fashion, a style. True religion has got to become a relationship. And so I'd rather talk about relationship than religion. Right? I'd rather talk about love than marriage. Because anybody can be married, but not everybody's in love. Am I making sense? It's time to fall in love with this Jesus. Fall in love with the church. Put ourselves on the altar and be used of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with anybody in the building today that a little bit of worship can't take care of. And so let's try that one more time, shall we? Let's just praise him one more time. Let's just stop thinking about it. Stop falling victim to your problems, and let's just worship the Lord for a moment right now. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I appreciate worship creating such an atmosphere that's conducive to preaching the word of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. And thank you for being in the house of God again. To all of our guests and visitors, thank you for making Landmark your place of worship. Amen. And those of you that have been here more than three times, then you're stuck. Hallelujah. And you just now it's time for you to start saying my church instead of their church. All right? Amen. Hallelujah. There's power in partnership. The enemy doesn't want you connected to what two can do. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is our day. And that's what I'm going to preach for a little while today. This is our day. This is our time. This is our moment. And we cannot let it pass us by. We can have no other agenda except serving Jesus Christ and lifting him up. Falling victim to his will. Amen. So there's power in partnership. The enemy is against us, connecting to anything that can cause revival. The Lord said, I will pour out of my spirit, not just a latter splatter, but a torrential downpour. He has promised that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. Praise and worship doesn't just bring survival. Praise, true praise and worship brings revival. I want to do more than just survive. I want refreshing. I want renewal. And I want reviving. Amen? Hallelujah. And so praise opens the door to God's every opportunity. Now, praise is not everything we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to seek God. We're going to be on time. We're going to be diligent. We're going to be self-disciplined. We're going to show up at church. We're going to be here to worship God, right? We're going to teach home Bible studies. We're going to continue the bus route. Amen. We're going to do men's group, ladies group. We're going to have meetings. We're going to have successful fall fest like we did last night, thanks to the tires. Awesome. Amen. Praise God. And putting a fall fest together isn't just a cakewalk. Thought I'd say that. Hallelujah. And it's going to go on and on. While we were having a fall fest last night, we were putting a whole different program together for another sliver outreach in this church. Amen. And you're going to be so excited when we announce it. It's going to blow your mind. It has a leader. It has already other workers that are going to help it develop. And it's going to come together. Why? Because we need revival. We need church growth. We need a move of God. We need to bring people to the Lord. Amen. And so praise opens the door to opportunities. Amen. And when I say opportunity, I'm not talking about just a microphone. I'm not talking about just a ministry. And I'm talking about opportunity to learn more about God, to grow deeper in God, to satisfy God in a greater level, in another dimension. Hey, that's opportunity as well. Hallelujah. And so we're going to partner with praise to get all of that done. There's one thing this church will never do, and that is stop the flow of praise. We will never stop worshiping God. We will never stop magnifying the name of the Lord. Because when I am little, He is so big. When I am small, He is so large. When I am not so great, He's the greatest thing that could ever happen. Come on now. The folks that are standing worshiping the Lord, they feel like a turtle on a fence post. How did he get there? Somebody had to put him up there. And if we're going to succeed, the Lord is going to have to put us in that arena of success. Praise reveals what two can do. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, leap for joy. Amen. When it's time to worship and you don't feel like it, that's when it has developed into the sacrifice of praise. And God had rather have the sacrifice of praise than praise that's just flowing because everybody else is doing it. Amen. I'm talking about the headache praise. I'm talking about the migraine praise. I'm talking about the praise where you've been broken that week and you've had your feelings hurt or you've been devastated, your finances took a crunch or whatever, and yet you come to the house of God and you leap anyway. And by the way, when the Bible says leap for joy, it's not talking about something metaphorically, it's talking about physically leaping. Hello? Modern religion is trying to take true worship out of the church and say, it's not talking about literally clapping your hand. It's talking about your heart, your feelings, your spirit. That's right. It's talking about your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible said, the mouth speak it. So if it's in your heart, let it out of your mouth. Let it get to your feet. Let it get in your hands. When you leave this building today after you have worshiped, you're going to be a better child of God. Because you've opened yourself up to stuff that God can pour into you. Amen. And so we need that. We want that. And we have got to have that. And so the Bible says leap for joy. It didn't say leap after you feel the joy. It said, you come in the house and you need some joy, start leaping. Because he said, leap for the joy. All right? Do we understand that, right? And so we don't have to be convinced anymore that we need to worship God to feel better. Just come in here and worship God and you will feel better. The Holy Ghost is the refreshing. The Holy Ghost is the renewing. So I said, I just need some time out. And you take time out and come back and you're more wore out. Trying to soak in everything while you're out there in that short duration. And then you need time at home because you're so wore out. And so you missed church that vacation week. Now you're missing church another week trying to get over vacation. And you slept so long you got used to it. And now you're hibernating through the winter and you're missing church like crazy. Just come to church and worship. And you will feel the refreshing. And you will feel the renewing. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is within you. And the only way sometimes we can stir that up is to make our mind up that we come to praise the Lord. Somebody lift him up. Leap for joy. And then the Bible said that the joy of the Lord is my strength. It didn't say my joy is my strength. It said the joy of the Lord. So when we bring the Lord joy, you know a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. Did you know that? Amen. I'm telling you, the speed and the velocity that they were kicked out of heaven. By the time they got here, their faces were so mingled until they just became demons. They weren't the angels that they used to be. And Satan is the head one. And they hit the ground so hard until they're so ugly now that they look like dragons. Some of them didn't stop in the ground until they wound up in hell. But some of them exist today. Oh, yeah, you know what their names are? Jealousy, envy, strife, murder, hatred, malice, discontentment. I can go on and name all kind of evil spirits. Hello? Amen. And sometimes through the week, on our jobs or wherever we are, we have to rub elbows with people that harbor those spirits. Give them a home, in other words. And when we do, some of that tries to get on us. But there's not an evil spirit in this world that can live, exist, and breathe through one of your apostolic sessions of praise. You got something you need to shake off? You got something you need to get rid of? Come on, you got something that don't feel good, taste good? You sense that there's something there that ain't right? Come on, in the name of Jesus, start a fire that you can shake every serpent off into. Because the joy, when I bring him joy with my praise, then he will bring in turn, he will give me strength. He inhabits what? I thought it was your good looks. I thought it was your talent. I thought it was your education. No, he inhabits the praises, the worship of his people. David said, let the lifting of my hands be just like the evening sacrifice. Don't you ever let anybody tell you it is not the will of God to lift your hands in church. If you're not lifting your hands in church, then get out of there, because that ain't church. I love how we are affecting this community. Amen. We've got two, I think maybe even three churches that have begun baptizing in Jesus' name and preaching Acts chapter 2, verse 38 in this community. We've influenced, amen. I had the pastor of the Heath Church. I bumped into him in I think it was Walmart not long ago, and he was with one of his great officials from headquarters, and he wanted to pretend he didn't know me. I said, hey. He said, I said, Landmark. Trying to act like he don't know me when he stole one of our, you know, our fish bait. The end of your search for a spirit-filled church. What's on his digital sign in front of his church? The end of your search for a friendly church. Well, we're going to finish that, Doc, because everybody in your church is going to get the Holy Ghost. Whether you preach it or not, it's going to happen. Because if there's anybody that's sincere in that building, then the Lord is going to fill them in this end time, because the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. Hallelujah. They've been influenced. They've been influenced. We've been threatened by a church right here down the street that they're going to steal our young people because they're going to start getting bounce houses. They think we got all these young people because we rent bounce houses. Amen. That's a good start. Amen. But what you're going to find out, if you'll do what we do, you won't even need our young people. There's enough young people out there in this world that are looking for truth, that are looking for excitement, that are looking for the real deal and the real thrill. While some of our young people want to run away and escape and get away from the crowd, hallelujah. That's why we got to have a meeting after church. Amen. But my wife is going to meet with all the teenage parents and the teenagers in the youth group in the fellowship hall right after service. We're trying to bend the rules. Hey, listen, when you feel like that there's a rule that you don't believe in, parents or students, hallelujah, don't call the director. Call me. You were leadership before. There's never been a rule that anybody goes by that the pastor doesn't know about. They got it from me. So call me if you want to talk about the rule. Listen, stop doing this stuff to your parents and putting leadership in the middle. Amen. You want to drive? Drive. You want to pick up boys there that we don't even know and then try to go eat somewhere we're not even going? Go for it. But don't blame us and don't put your parents in the middle of it. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying while you're trying to get out, there's young people trying to break in. So go ahead and go if you got to go. But we're going to fill this house with sincerity. We're going to fill this house with the real. We're going to fill this house with the right. And we're going to have revival. That's right. While I'm speaking to you, listen, and I don't want to embarrass her, but one of our teenage young people out of a house of ill repute, I'm telling you, she's got every reason in the world not to live for God. And one of the most spiritual young people we have in the youth group. She has been invited to a Baptist church in Winston-Salem this evening to go and to do one of those landmark sign songs. You go, girl, because we are going to have revival. We are going to have a move of God. I'm not talking about a disgruntled parent saying, why ain't mine on the platform? Everybody else is on the platform. It's because they don't have the right spirit. I want the Holy Ghost up here. I want tears up here. I want anointing up here. I want the power and the authority of God up here. Amen. That's the only way we're going to shake our world. It's not who you are. I could care less who you are. It's not your name. I could care less about your name. It ain't about what kind of time you got clocked in. I could care less. Hey, it's the evening hour. It's the last hour, and the Lord is hiring workers, and He's going to pay them the same thing I make. You may as well praise Him, because that's what you're going to get. We're going to have this, and it's going to be right, and it's going to be real, and it's going to be anointed. It's not another level. It's a whole new dimension that God wants to take us. Do you believe that? We don't want you to be seated. We want you to be saved. We don't want you to have a bunch of friends necessarily. We want Jesus to be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Six is the number of flesh or man. The number of man is 666. Seven is God's number. 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, He rested. That simply means on the seventh day, He claimed that day as His. Revelation 1:13, 6 golden candlesticks, the 7 likened the Son of God. At Jesus' first miracle, there were 6 water pots. We are living in the 6th dispensation of time. In these last days, we can't let Laban oppress us. We're not going to work for anything else except the kingdom of God. Laban can make any kind of deal he wants to make, but we don't make deals with Laban. We make deals with God. We'll take what this world and the flesh cannot see. We will take the miracle. Amen. I want a friendly church, but I want a spirit-filled church most of all. Jacob asked for, hey, listen, they're going to get a bouncy house now and have revival. And so, Fall Fest. All right, everybody. We're going to have Fall Fest for the church. This church down here had a barbecue the same day. Church down the street did something else. This one had a bazaar. This one had a bake sale. This one had a... Hello? Hello? They're looking at us, and they're tagging on to us, and they're not in here yet, and so they see the outside of what we're doing, the edges of what we're doing, and they're going to find out that the bake sale didn't do it, and the bounce house didn't do it. So what's doing it? And they're going to start sending spies. And when the spies come into camp, we're going to palm their head, and they're going to speak in tongues, and they're going to go back and give that report. I'm telling, are you ready for the revival that the Holy Ghost is ready to pour out in our community? Are you ready for the anointing that is going to break every yoke? Jacob asked for the speckled and the spotted sheep. Laban removed everything that could cause speckles and spots and ring streaks. Jacob did something very unusual. He placed a reed in front of the pregnant goats. God gave him spots and speckles. Laban, you tried to take it away. But Laban, hide and watch what God's getting ready to do. This world has tried to rob us of revival for over 2,000 years, but it is our day. The latter rain. Amen. Don't tell you. Don't tell anybody. Listen, Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Get that for me, guys. One of the greatest men I know rocked America, shook her to the bone with her stinking thinking by one single speech entitled, I have a dream. Every time I hear that, I don't get goosebumps. I get moose bumps. They're bigger than goosebumps. And when I hear Martin Luther King shout, I have a dream. And he would share that dream. And you could feel that was more than just a speech he stole from somebody or a word that he got from somebody he heard. Hallelujah. It came from his guts. It came from his heart. And it changed America in the way that we thought, in the way that we were thinking. But if I could just add one more element to that speech and simply say, dreams will not come true to those that oversleep. It's good to have a dream, but get out of bed and let's make this thing happen. All right. Hallelujah. Arise, shine, thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. That thee, ladies and gentlemen, is me. And that thee is you. And that thee is this church. And that thee is the Word of God. Why in God's name wouldn't you want to read the Word of God and put it in your heart that you might not sin against God? Have you read it enough? Have you graduated? Have you got enough of the Word of God? Are you there? Have you arrived? The last giant in the Bible. You know what the last giant in the Bible? Look at this. Are you okay? Am I doing okay? Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11. Let's get that. Deuteronomy 3, verse 11. I want to show you the last giant in the Word of God. It's going to blow your mind. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. This is the last big dude. Amen. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length of his bed. 4 cubits was the breadth of his bed, after the cubit of a man. Whew, what a giant. It doesn't say anything about him. It talks about his bed. The last giant in this generation before the coming of the Lord is our bed. We got to get out of bed and have revival. Amen. Stop laying there thinking about it and get up and do it. Get out and about. Work for the kingdom of God. Tell somebody. Share it with somebody. You may be seated. Oh, we wanted to shout a while ago because we talked about the blessings. What greater blessing is it than to go to heaven and have a crowd of folks gather around you and tell you it's just like you told me it was going to be? I don't want to pass you on streets of gold and say, hey, where's your crowd? I don't know. I was after something else. So I was seeking after something, other stuff. I want you to have a crowd. Amen? Hallelujah. And I don't want you to have to describe your bed as an excuse or a reason. Hallelujah. So let's wake up. The Bible says, wake up the mighty men. The Lord already knows that there's might in this house. He just wants me to wake us all up. Amen? Hallelujah. Wake up the mighty men, the women and young people. It's our day. Potential is an undug well. You can't do anything with potential until you put it to work. Amen? People in here today have the potential to be Bible scholars. We could have seminars here at our church and have classes and sessions. And if I was to ask right now, how many of you would love to teach one of those sessions? What you going to teach? How come you don't know? How come you're not a professional in something? You know why? Because you refuse to dig deeper than the surface, behind the scenes when nobody can see you. Amen? George Foreman in Houston, Texas, was under a bridge. A pastor friend of mine drove up to him and said, are you George Foreman? He said, yes, but you got to keep this a secret. He said, how come? He said, I'm going to fight one more time for my children's home. He said, we need money. And he said, I'm going to go back in the ring one more time. And he was out there underneath a bridge, air boxing. Didn't want anybody to know. Hey, before you get in the arena, you got to air box. You got to go somewhere right by yourself and dig this stuff out. And it's going to take time. It's going to take weeks. It's going to take months. It's going to take years. Hallelujah. But there's no shortcut to the perfect will of God. And you better get that now or you're going to wind up on an island somewhere and say, where did my life go? I was in hot pursuit of stuff that was so shallow and frivolous. Amen. And I never stopped to take the time to dig anything out below the surface. I'm talking to somebody. You don't like it, but I don't care if you don't like it. I'm not going to answer to God for you with blood on my hands. You may as well get an attitude of gratitude and thank God there's somebody that'll stand up to your little face and let you know that you better get deeper than what you've been in the past if you're going to see what you want to see in the future. Stop finding rhyme and reason while everybody else is wrong and you're so right and still yet not accomplishing diddly for the kingdom of God. Pastor came down today. Somebody here invited me. Thank you so much. Hope you didn't change your mind. But I'm glad to be here because I'm telling you, there's a shaking. Job said, the Lord, he grabbed me by my neck and he has shaken me. I want God to grab me every now and then and shake me. Hey! Praise God. Amen. This is the time of Abraham to offer Isaac. You know what Isaac was? Isaac was Abraham's flesh. And if we can't offer the flesh on this altar, you're of no use to the kingdom. He's going to ask you for it. He's going to ask you for it. Praise God. It's time to break the alabaster box. What is that? Some of those things that are most expensive to me, most important to me. Some of those things that mean the most to me. And he's going to ask you not to put it in his savings account, but pour it on his feet. Just to let you know how abased those things that are so important to you are. Amen. One individual had to burn his plow and never look back. When you live for God easy, it's too hard. But when you live for God hard, it is so easy. Can I say that again? When you live for God easy, it's too hard. But when you live for God hard, it is so easy. Because your mind is made up. Exodus 24 and 6, the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai and covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called on Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses, this is the end of you or the flesh and the beginning of me. Flesh has got to surrender to the Spirit. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. Don't wait till you die to walk with God. Are you going to lead or is God going to lead through you? Regarding the Tower of Babel, God said they can do anything. That's what he said. He said, those folks can do anything. That's why he had to disperse the language. Because if he didn't, they might have accomplished what they were wanting to accomplish. How were they able to do anything? Because they came together. They were not trying to sliver off. They were not trying to disconnect themselves and get away. But they were together. They were together for the wrong cause, and the Lord dispersed them. But what could God do if we got together for the right cause? When David was at Ornan's threshing floor in 1 Chronicles 21 and 24, he wanted to offer sacrifice because of the plagues that were in his country. And Ornan said, take it all, David. The wheat, take the instruments of wood, the animals, sacrifice the animals, burn the wood, take the wheat. It's all free. And David said, no way. You're not just going to hand this to me. I know that would feel good, and that would save me a lot of sacrifice. But listen to me, you're not giving it to me free. Oh no, I will not take that which is yours and offer that from me to the Lord. David was saying, I will not offer anything to God without it costing me first. Look at this. David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold. It's got to be my sacrifice. It's got to be my submission. It's got to be my prayer clocked in. It's got to be my discipline developed. It's got to be my word of God stuffed in my heart, my mind, and in deep in my spirit. It's got to be my worship, and it has got to be my praise. Another scripture said that David found his sword. That's what it said. It said, David found his sword. Do you know what sword that was? It was Goliath's sword originally. It was Goliath's. But David took it from the enemy, and so he claimed it. Can I say something to the giants of this last generation? The singing, the dancing, the shouting, the not drunk as you suppose, it all belongs to us. You can do what you do on Friday night, but that ain't God. What we do is God. And listen, every other church that may get this sermon to listen to it, you hear me and you hear me well. Amen. If you're a pastor that doesn't believe in lifting your hands and shouting the victory in your church, you let dance halls, you let drugs, you let bar rooms and everything else steal the dance. Why don't you go back and get it back? Because it doesn't belong to the world. It belongs to God. Can I say, just like Goliath's sword belonged to David, that dance belongs to us. The worship belongs to us. The lifting of my hands belongs to us. And we will not let it go. David took the sword, went out, slew 600 men. One victory just begins to lead to another. And it begins to be one after another. One victory after another. One victory after another. One victory after another. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need a victory today, why don't you step out and claim Goliath's sword? Why don't you face the devil that took it from you? Whether it was pride, whether it was envy or jealousy, whatever it may have been, why don't you take it back? Why don't you claim it again? In the name of Jesus, I come and declare victory. I come and declare war. We're going to win this war. We're going to win this battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's our time. I feel the charge. I feel the challenge and the change. Hallelujah. Serve God the way you want to be served. My God. My God.